Friends, Scripture gives us words of life that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit lead us toward Jesus, who is the Word of life. Let us listen then for the guidance toward that word in this lesson. It comes from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companions, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone, for the Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Friends, this is the Word of God, and it can be trusted. Well, I've reached a point in my life where I don't remember a lot of the things I used to know. I remember knowing them. I remember learning them. Oh, the flashcards I have known, friends. I can't really remember the quadratic formula anymore. I only remember pi up to 3.1459. I know there's a lot left. I don't remember the whole thing about the kingdom, the phylum, the species, and the class. I used to know the atomic weight of different elements. The vice presidents of the United States in order, the canticle lyrics to Scarborough Fair, and while we're at it, I will really date myself, I used to know what unter Glieben Globen Globen was actually supposed to mean. That's big if you know. I remember knowing how to say things in French like, had I been there, I should have told the teacher I was sick, lest she call me inattentive, but of course I was absent, hélas. I used to be able to say things like that, but no longer. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, education is the lighting of a candle, not the filling of a pail. And I've always liked that saying, but deep down I've never believed it. Maybe it's only now, in fact, that I am in midlife that I have come to agree, now that I'm learning firsthand, that actually it's not only that it isn't a pail. The problem is there are holes in the bottom of my pail. I never really understood that. And yet, there has been one tremendous benefit that I also ought to report, because I've also begun to take notice of the things that I remember, the things that have stayed with me, the things that have even become a part of me somehow. And this is where I think that Oliver Wendell Holmes was really onto something, because what has stayed with me were the things that lit some kind of spark. The things that became something beyond facts to remember. The things that were, in their own way, maybe the beginning of seeing and understanding the world in a new way. A candle. Maybe you know what that's like. My friends who went into law talk about the agony and the ecstasy of that first year in law school when everyone's exhausted and kind of, you know, just burning the candle at all three ends. There's not even a third end, but they find one in order to learn how to think like lawyers. Surgeons sometimes talk about how important it is to be able to visualize the area in the human body where they'll be operating and how that's different than knowing anatomy. Or rather, it's an entirely different way of knowing anatomy that no flashcard could ever teach you. And of course, parents of toddlers suddenly begin to see the world in terms of uncovered electrical outlets, unanchored bookshelves, unlocked kitchen drawers, the rest. I mean, as new parents, you see and understand dangers lurking in the world you had never really noticed before. There are any number of ways that seem to teach us to see and to understand the world in a new way, experiences that light a candle within us. And that's helpful to us this morning because it offers a perspective for understanding Paul's powerful exhortation to the church at Philippi. And that exhortation comes near the end of his letter to them, the beginning of which we read last week. And you heard it at the very beginning of the service, these last two verses, which are particularly memorable when he says, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things." And what I want to suggest is just that Paul's idea is that like education, faith too is the lighting of a candle and not just the filling of a pail. And I want to make just two points. First, let's remember Paul. Paul was a tremendously learned man for his time, formally educated, which is already unusual, literate. At the very least, bilingual, maybe even trilingual. This was far from typical. But it goes even further than that, because according to ancient tradition, if you sit down with the Bible and count the specific number of things God commands, perhaps the most direct, literal way to read the Bible of all, you will find that there aren't just 10 commandments. There are actually 613. 613 practices that God specifically commands. And you need to remember, of course, that the ancients saw great significance in numbers and did not believe in accidents. And in the course of time, learned people further observed that 613 was the number that you got when you added all of the days of the year and the number of bones in the body. Now, modern anatomy student might quibble, but the point for them was clear. God's commands were to be followed every single day and with every bone in our body. And I think that's helpful to remember as we try to imagine how Paul saw the world. He doesn't weigh in on this question of 613 commandments, but when it comes to this vision of total commitment to God, every single day, with every bone in the body, Paul absolutely agreed. Which makes it, in its own way, all the more curious, because when Paul exhorts the Philippians and now us to think on spiritual things, it's not God's commandments or even the Bible that he sends us to. Instead, he calls us to seek out a much wider connection to goodness and to purity and to excellence. And he commends those things to us wherever we might find them. And the point, he suggests, is to find them wherever they may be, and not simply to go looking in some narrow definition of approved and expected places. God will light the candle. That's what he means. Don't get hung up on fill in the pail. The second point I'd like to make is a briefer one, and it's simply that for Paul, the thing that endures is not knowledge about God, but the experience of knowing God. However brief, however partial, however murky that knowledge may be, nevertheless, God's grace, God's mercy, God's tender love for all of us, all of these are still present in the world. And Paul is absolutely certain that God wants to be known. And so again, in the end, who is to say how it is that God will choose to light the candle? Have you ever had the experience of encountering someone or something that just made you want to be a better person? There's the kind of person, I think back to my years in boarding school. I think back, you know, there was a certain kind of person who would walk in the room and our tendency to use language that was colorful suddenly evaporated. And it wasn't that we were scared. It wasn't the right thing to say. Those were not the words in the presence of that kind of person. There are people that we meet who just lift us, who inspire us, who light the candle somehow within us. What is that? When it comes to people like that or experiences like that, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just and pure and pleasing and of good report, wherever that is to be encountered, Paul is quite sure that it isn't just them that we're picking up on. He felt that there was something divine that we were encountering, that something holy was deeply at work. And his point is that when that happens, however it happens, we need to do everything we can to pay attention. Paul is saying that while the law of God is vast, the relentlessness of God, the overflowing of his love, are even greater. And so this is what he wants them to carry. This is what he wants these people whom he loves so well to remember, that God has set our hearts ablaze. And the challenge for us is to continue to be open to the ways that God still seeks to set our hearts ablaze again and again and again, and to be with us in new ways and new places and among new folks. What he says is that when that happens, you don't forget it. And so he urges his dear friends to remember it now. And to us, dear friends, we need to remember it too. These are times when the grace of God and the love of God and the presence of God are hard to put your hand on. So all the more reason that in these days we become the people who light the candle. May it be so for you. Amen.